Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So, did any of you have some crazy energies coming up this past week? I just want to start out by asking that, putting that out there, especially early in the week. I know I definitely did, and I found out at that time there was a big spike in the Schumann resonance, which I think I talked about in a previous podcast, which is the frequency of Earth, vibrations per second in hertz. So it rose from 7.83 to 110 hertz. And these spikes are beneficial because it's like, yay, higher frequency and more light energy. But they also tend to really shake things up and make us look at a lot of our shadow stuff. And sometimes for people that appears and they don't know why and they're just like irritated. I have a friend in Toronto who got into a fight in a supermarket. It was just like, what was going on this weekend? I'm like, Schumann resonance. But for those of us that are aware, we can kind of look at it, which is helpful. It's like astrology. It's like all the cosmos of when you're aware, you're like, okay, I'm not crazy. That's happening. It's affecting all of us. And what are the lessons I can learn in it? And, you know, I was able to face it, process it, and really move into a better place by the end of the week. And it looks like from a lot of the comments and DMs, it seems that the Taurus new moon on Wednesday, the 22nd, was a big shift for a lot of you as well, that things started to kind of feel more expansive, more light, and kind of an integration and processing of a lot of shadow that may have come earlier in the week. And so this means, because we had that Taurus new moon, it means we're officially in Taurus season, and which started, I think, Monday and goes through to May the 20th. So we had that new moon on Taurus the same day as Earth Day, and which I found that to be really aligned, since the Taurus Venus energy is incredibly healing and grounding. It is an Earth sign and that Earth energy, and allows us to use that to create really the future that we want to see. I mean, that's so much a part of the process in this time, is what is that new foundation, that new future that we really want to call in. And I find it comforting to read and see posts about these tangible shifts in the healing of the Earth's waters and surfaces and the air. And that's a sign that yes, we are healing in this time, and a better, more aligned future is absolutely on the horizon. Taurus's ruling planet is Venus, which is associated with the heart chakra. And when we think about that combined with Taurus, which rules the throat chakra, and that the throat chakra encourages us to really express ourselves for our highest good. And this doesn't necessarily mean we're all going to become motivational speakers. This means that, you know, it could be sharing a post that inspires us. This can mean that expression through art or dance or cooking. You know, I've been speaking about how my mom is sewing masks right now for anyone who needs them. And, you know, that's really an expression, an artistic expression for her. And you better believe she's putting so much love and healing energy into each little stitch. And that's very kind of Taurus throat chakra energy. And Taurus season, which, you know, with that heart and throat chakra opener, really help us to go into our own healing with those chakras. And we're going to see a lot of that in the Taurus ruled Hierophant card, which brings in lessons for us to be able to stand in and express ourselves from a place of authenticity, but also a place of kind of new alignment of presence and where we have come to through all of the lessons and the journey up until this point. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, when we look at the Hierophant card, the Hierophant is shown on this throne structure in a red gown seated between two pillars. And we see kind of that setup in a lot of cards. The High Priestess has that, Justice has that, and it's usually symbolizing seated between two things. And in the Hierophant, from what I studied later in life as an adult, a lot of texts say that this is between obedience and disobedience. And when I first studied this, I was like, oh, hells to the no with that. I don't want some old Pope dude telling me to obey and what is considered obedient and what is considered not. Even as a kid, I didn't like this card when it would come up because it just, I don't know, there was something about it that looked too authority to me. And I was always questioning authority and kind of didn't blindly follow even as a child. And but later on, you know, I was like, I had to make peace with the Hierophant because all of these cards, like all of us as humans, have light and shadow in them. And when I was creating my deck, I was like, okay, I need to find some love for the Hierophant. And I looked up the definition of the word Hierophant in the dictionary, and it says, noun, a person who interprets sacred mysteries or esoteric principles. And I was like, I love that. Okay, I can get down with that. And the common thread across most tarot teachings is that the Hierophant is the teacher of life lessons and of spiritual wisdom. So when I created the Badass Bitches Tarot deck, I made this card Oprah, who I personally think did a great job of introducing a lot of esoteric and spiritual concepts to the masses. And she was, you know, the original translator of what an aha moment is and what that feels like. So it's interesting that we had the Lovers reversed in April, which I interpreted as finding harmony through disharmony. And as reversals often point us back to the lessons that we dodged in the preceding card, so the Hierophant comes before the Lovers, and here we are again. The Hierophant was calling our names. So here we go, kids. Taurus season is going to help us ground, really go into those lessons we may have been avoiding, and Taurus has that slow and steady energy. So Aries can be go, 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 go. So still, even in that Lover's reversal last month, we might have been like, ah, okay, I get it, keep moving. But Taurus is like slow and steady wins the race. And also bringing up that Venus heart healing energy to love ourselves through these lessons. I have to say, I came up against a really big Hierophant lesson last week. When it was actually exactly the day when the Schumann resonance spike threw up a giant nasty mirror of some shadow stuff that I had been unwilling to look at for quite some time. And I keep likening this time to an ayahuasca ceremony. And I'm sorry for those of you who are probably in like, oh my gosh, stop talking about ayahuasca, or if you haven't done ayahuasca and you're like, what is she talking about? But it's just that this is the most similar experience I've had to this pandemic and quarantine and this current lifetime. And my shaman wrote a funny post recently that said, nothing could have prepared me for this, dot, 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 except maybe ayahuasca. And I laughed out loud because it's very similar, the process, I feel like, to what we're going through globally right now. And in ayahuasca, one of the first mutual agreements in everyone who's sitting in the ceremony is that we all agree that everyone starts and ends the ceremony together. And we're kind of in that now, right? Like we're all in this together. We all have to, like, we're all going to wait and come out of this together. And the other agreement in plant medicine ceremonies is to allow everyone to have their own individual journey. And this can be harder than it sounds because, you know, out of love, you may want to protect others or, you know, have them do what is making you feel safe. And we're seeing a lot of that in the world of people saying, you should do this, you need to do that. In my first plant medicine ceremony, my friend Rhiannon was on the mat next to me. And at one point she was sobbing and shaking uncontrollably. And all I wanted to do was just go to her and hold her and hug her. But we were taught, you know, they kind of teach you the principles and how to work with the medicine. We were taught that the ayahuasca journey is like a prescription. And on the way to healing for another person, parts of it may look awful to you. Like, you know, she was shaking and sobbing and crying, but that could have been incredibly necessary and a healing vision for her that she needed to go through. And like if you took a life-saving prescription, but if someone else took your prescription, it could be deadly to them. So the best thing to do is to send them love and healing, but really stay in your own journey and keep going within. And I feel so much of that in the world right now. So though it can be hard, trying to control others, you know, in the outside world is less helpful than coming back to our own healing journey because we all have so much to heal in this time. So that being said, I became really sad last weekend. I went for a walk with one of my good friends. We in this time, once in a while, will meet up to walk our dogs. And that way we get to see another friendly human, you know, and 6 feet apart and in masks, of course, following all of the guidelines. And her girlfriend joined us, who in all honesty has been in a lot of darkness of her own for a long time. And I've never really resonated with this individual, but out of care for my friend, I do the best, you know, I can when she's around. But we're walking and my friend was telling a funny story and both she and I laughed and her girlfriend yelled at us that it was not appropriate to be laughing right now. And no one was around us. Like in the, obviously no one closer than 6 feet, but no one was around to really hear or be disturbed by our laughter to begin with. And it just triggered me. This felt very alarming and strange. Like we were on a walk in The Handmaid's Tale, if you're familiar with that show, and we should not be joyfully conversing. So shortly after that, which I was quite shaken up by, after we were reprimanded for laughing, my friend began telling a story to me about a colleague of hers who, very sad, recently passed away of cancer, which she had for some time. But she was explaining that everyone on social media, et cetera, was now claiming that this woman died of coronavirus. And she just said, you know, it made me wonder how often is this happening that people don't know or they're misinformed. And, you know, as we continued our conversation of just like questioning that and questioning mainstream media in this time, again, in masks, following the rules, 6 feet apart, a stranger appeared almost as if she apparated and stood exactly 6 feet from us probably and just stared at us ominously for several moments, like obviously listening to our conversation and making eye contact, like making her presence known, like she didn't approve. So we finally picked up the dogs and quickly left the area. And I instantly felt very unsafe, and I felt transported back to being a child in rural Pennsylvania, who from a very young age, I knew I was very different from most of the people there. And, you know, where I grew up, it was mostly exclusively straight, white, Christian, and I was pretty badly bullied as a child, and I always felt like an unwanted weirdo, and was just given the message by those around me that I needed to try harder to fit in into this world that I never really belonged in the first place and didn't really want to fit into, to be quite honest. And until last Sunday, I had never been told or felt that I didn't fit in New York, ever, not for one second. And I certainly hadn't been told that I couldn't laugh on the street in New York. I was never worried about having a conversation that wasn't aligned with the status quo because there really isn't a status quo here. That's one of the things that many people love about this city. In fact, I moved here so that I could freely dress, speak, laugh as myself amongst other free-thinking weirdos. And that afternoon spiraled me into a couple of days of not leaving my apartment at all when I would normally go out for just some sunlight for a quick walk with Lola. And Lola can go on the little dog pad, so it's like, which is great because if I need to stay home, she can. But I wasn't getting air and sun. I was not in a good place. And was feeling very unsafe. I started Googling starseed communes, luxury starseed communities to see if any of there's more of us out there that are like, can we go be safe and, you know, together? There are none yet, FYI. But that was just me and my dark spiral. And I spent like an entire day crying because I love New York so much. And I don't know where I would go if this began to feel unsafe. This was my safe place for so long. My little island of artists and misfits that, you know, unconditionally accept each other just as we are. And I became afraid that people will turn on each other and start becoming cruel and policing one another and bullying. And I went into this whole dark Handmaid's Tale rabbit hole in my mind. And that's when I was like, time to go into the Hierophant. What was this mirror and why did I attract it? Where is the lesson? And it seemed in the beginning of quarantine, when we all came together, you know, and we were just like, we're all in this together, we've got each other's backs, that now duality is starting to pop back up again. And some people are afraid of health concerns for themselves and their loved ones. Some are afraid of economic repercussions, of losing their jobs, of losing their homes. Other people are really afraid of losing their freedoms. And as a result, many are trying to insert their experiences and what they believe to be right for themselves onto others. And what I realized is that when we really break it down, we're all afraid of feeling unsafe. If we take a more extreme example, there are two drastically different sides to the recent protests that have been going on. You know, on one side, there are these individuals not wearing masks, fighting to be out in the world again because they're fearful for their economic well-being and of losing their, you know, money to support their kids and losing their homes. And on the other side, you see these healthcare workers, you know, in masks trying to block the protesters because they're fighting for, you know, the virus and the health related concerns. Both of these sides, I see aspects to both of these sides. And these really all come down, what I realize, all of these fears really all come down to root chakra issues of safety. And yes, it's very challenging, especially now that safety looks and feels different for different people. But again, when we break it down, we all know what the answer is. The answer is always love. Healthcare concerns are really real right now. Economic concerns are very real right now. Concerns for our mental health and things that induce agoraphobia, anxiety, and depression are really fucking real right now. And even if someone's fears are very different than yours, their fears are very real to them. And I tell myself this with the people like my friend's girlfriend who doesn't believe people should be laughing or expressing joy. She must be so very, very afraid right now. And she's probably trying to control others to feel safe. And I truly do send her so much love and healing in this time. So, as you can see, contrary to popular belief, I'm not 100% all rainbows and smiles all the time. I spent like a good 2 days feeling very unsafe, very afraid, crying, going back to my childhood of feeling trapped in this small rural town where I felt so alone and unseen. And just like 90s me, I listened to a hell of a lot of Madonna to get through those days. But I'm grateful for it because this was obviously something that's still deep in there that I haven't looked at for a long time. I was just like, cool, got out of there, have a great life in New York. That's over. And it was still in there. And the Hierophant, aka the Mama Oprah card, brings out those aha moments. But like in ayahuasca, it's not always pretty. And there is no one way through that journey. It's different for each and every one of us. But the answer at the end of the path is always love. Love for ourselves and love for each other. Which brings me to our next card of the month. And I'm so excited about this. We have really good cards. I know the Hierophant can be, those lessons can be tough, but they're so healing. It is like ayahuasca. And our second card from the January 1st overview that I pulled, we got the Empress. How awesome is that? The Empress is ruled by Venus, which is the ruling planet of Taurus. I love when these are aligned and I don't even plan it. I'm like, yes. So the Venus ruled Empress card is shown in the Smith Rider Waite deck as kind of this goddess figure who's on a throne and she has the symbol of Venus at her side. She's wearing this dress with this pomegranate print all over it, which is a symbol of fertility, and sitting in a really kind of luxurious field, and she's about to give birth to a human life. She's like this card is kind of all about the mother energy, but she's also sitting amongst this field of fruits and, you know, showing the fruits of her labor as well as the fact that she's like in the process of creation, right? And she has these 12 little stars on her crown that are said to be associated with the, you know, the signs of the zodiac and the mystical world. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, I drew this card as Angelina Jolie dressed as Tomb Raider. So she has her like badass Tomb Raider costume, but with all of her babies strapped to her, because this is really the sexy, strong mother energy card. And she's beautiful and empowered, but she's also bringing out these creations to the world. And I think this card is so perfect from where we are right now. The Empress is all about divine feminine and the analogy of being pregnant with something beautiful. I don't know, but I would venture to guess that back in the day when people didn't have sonograms, when they didn't even have calendars, they probs just listened to their bodies and took their pregnancies day by day, right? And I truly believe we're creating, we're literally pregnant with a more loving, harmonious world right now. And there's going to be like pains and trials and tribulations in that pregnancy, but you can't force it. And the best thing you can do is be present in each and every moment with it. And when we say, you know, okay, I'm not going to imagine or project or try to predict the future. Instead of that overwhelming temptation of what does the new earth look like? How long is that going to take? How scary is the transition? What if we just look at the now moment? Because when we do that, many of us are finding that we're actually okay. We're safe in our homes. A lot of us are with our loved ones. I'm literally sitting here in my apartment, safe with my little Lola in my lap as I get to share these messages with you incredible light workers who I love so much and who inspire me. So for me, right now in this moment, all is well. And if your now moment is not okay, that's okay too. And it's important to focus on that. Maybe go even deeper into that, even if it's hard, because maybe that means maybe you're in a relationship or a job that is not healthy for you. And what is in the now moment that really needs your attention? Because many of these things we didn't fully want to face because we were easily able to numb or avoid with work, with shopping, with hanging out with friends, with busyness in the outside world. So if you're coming in within to your now moment and things that are actually around you right now are not okay, it's even more than ever important to look at what does that look like? What does that mean? You know, what within your free will can you change? Can you evolve? And without even looking at, you know, the upcoming May cards, I subconsciously took an Empress inventory of my current situation after my meltdown this past week. And I was like, okay, I'm safe right now, not bizarro future Handmaid's Tale New York. Right now, Lola and I are safe in my home. And what can I do to increase that safety? I booked a session with my shaman, with my healer. I ordered myself some small items to Venusify my home even more. This is so silly, but just something you can do if you're in a place that you are feeling well and you're like, I could do a little something to treat myself. I have tons of places in my apartment with actual chairs to sit like a human, but I always end up sitting on the floor on a pillow. I'm on the floor on a pillow with Lola in my lap right now. So I decided I'm going to order this like gamer's chair that has proper padding, which is probably better for my ass and my back, so that I'm able to continue to sit in my preferred writing and podcasting spot on the floor, but be more supported. And even that energy of giving myself more support is literally Venus and Empress energy. So thank you, Venus, for that. And the Empress, she's that really strong mother card, the embodiment of divine feminine. So May is a good time to really focus on presence over planning and receiving love. And that can be receiving self-love through meditation, receiving love from source, God, universe through meditation, receiving love from connecting with others, you know, even if that's digitally, Zoom, FaceTime, phone. And it can also, like I said, it can be receiving love by treating ourselves in small ways of like what little thing, even if it's like a, just like a box of cookies at the grocery store that you wouldn't normally buy yourself, what little thing could you treat yourself, which is also very Taurus, like sensual luxury, can we treat ourselves with this month in that Empress, Venus, and Taurus energy? All right, so now for our card of the week. Justice! Yes, okay. RBG in the house. I'm feeling this one too. Our cards are on point this episode, you guys. This is going to be, we're good. I'm excited about Taurus season. I'm really excited about Gemini season, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're being present. We're in the Taurus. Okay. So back to our card of the week in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck. Justice is shown seated in front of a purple veil behind these two pillars. Again, kind of the same position. This is kind of a power. It's a power position, basically. It's like throne, two pillars. You're kind of a big deal in the tarot deck if you're seated like that. Same as High Priestess and Hierophant. But Justice is holding a sword in her right hand, bringing that sword's energy of truth and intellect, that air energy, to the table. She also has scales that she's holding in her left hand, which is the receiving, that intuitive hand, demonstrating that intuition, the scales, and logic, the sword, are equally important to achieve justice. And astrologically, Libra is an air sign and symbolically represented by the scales, Justice is also known for seeking that balance, that harmony of what is fair and just. And the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Avdi. And just like RBG, this card represents asserting what is fair and just for ourselves. And in doing so, we often find it important to place clear boundaries in place. In this unprecedented time, I actually really hate that term now, I'm not gonna lie. I wish the government would give us a dollar for every time someone uses the phrase unprecedented times. So anyway, in this time, this crazy energetic time right now, boundaries are more important than ever. And the Justice card is really just showing up as our weekly card as like boundaries, kids, boundaries. So going back to the story of my friends, my friend's girlfriend who was shaming us on the street, as I said, I send her so much love and healing, but I also told my friend it's not aligned for me to be going on walks with her girlfriend anymore. Because that was something that came up in the here and now moment that wasn't even future tripping, that happened in that present moment, and it did not feel aligned. And I believe we just have to be as diligent about protecting our spiritual and mental health as our physical health right now. And that means it can be helpful to practice discernment and energetic distancing just as much as social distancing. And in the past, and I'm not saying this was a good thing, but in the past, I would often temporarily dip into lower frequencies in order to spend time with people that I cared about. Like, example, this good friend who constantly dates toxic partners. Or maybe I'd have dinner just once in a while with a really angry, negative former colleague who, you know, I care about and I hadn't seen in a long time. But I've realized for me specifically, I have to be very cautious and keep my frequency high right now because I feel more sensitive to these things than I ever was before. And I need to put boundaries that are healthy for me. Just like putting on a mask, this is like an energetic distancing for me. And that's Justice vibes. That's Justice vibes for sure. Justice is about loving boundaries. You know, the 6-foot rule is a loving boundary. Not spending time with people who make you feel energetically or mentally unsafe is a loving boundary. Similarly, there might be people who and relationships that don't feel negative at all. They don't feel overly negative, but you may be feeling like you just need more time for you right now. And in order to do that healing work, that inner work, and in order to stay present in this moment and in this journey. And like a small example of this is I recently turned off my visibility on Instagram. There's a setting where you can see if someone's like on and active, and you can opt out of that. So it just, you can't see when you're on that way. And I turned that feature off because I have a couple friends who were starting to, let's just say, lovingly stalk me on there. Like, oh, hey, I see you're on. Can we FaceTime? And honestly, just because I have 5 minutes to watch like a feel good video on the current energies, it's not the same as having an hour to dedicate to a FaceTime call, no matter how much I love someone. So turning off my visibility was a justice boundary for me. Justice she's powerful. It's one of my favorite major arcanas, and we need her right now. She's intuition and truth in one tiny, strong little package, like so RBG, right? So I hope these cards inspire you and give you some hope and clarity. I know they have for me. I hope that you're all having a fantastic start to Taurus season. I know that I didn't have time to take any of the questions today because all of that time was dedicated to the cards of the month, but I do love your questions and they are so helpful to me and to so many people out there. So please keep them coming. Thank you again, as always, for all of the beautiful DMs and the emails and for your donations. These have meant the world to me and they have helped to keep my frequency high. You know, because we're all going through these waves of energy, and your love, your connection, and the resonance that you have with this podcast and with the content, it really keeps me going and inspires me. I will still be doing my Instagram lives. I know this week I did. I was a little late. I was late to the party because I was working out. It should be Monday at 7:30. If there are changes, I always update that in my story, so pay attention to if there are any edits, but I'm going to attempt to be on time Monday, 7:30 Eastern time for the Instagram Lives, which are a great place to get a free live mini reading. And as I've said in previous podcast episodes, if you're struggling financially at this time, you feel really called to a reading with me, I will work with you on what you're able to pay. So do reach out via email or DM. You can reach out through my site, badassbitchestarot.com, or DM me at cardzb. As I also mentioned, I've been doing a lot more free content online, which I'm sure a lot of you have noticed if you follow my Instagram. I've also been collaborating with a lot of other healers and other brands to put some free content out there. So I do have a free intro to tarot class that's up at modernsanctuary.com. The link will be below in the notes to this podcast. I'm also doing an upcoming live free tarot Q&A. So just asking me anything you want about tarot, not asking for a free reading. I know some people will show up and want that. That's what the weekly lives are for. So it's more questions you have about learning to read, questions you have about specific cards, anything like that, I will be happy to answer. And stay tuned for the time and date on that. I'm also going to be continuing to work with BCBG on monthly tarot scopes. So you can get your full tarot scope for the month of May on BCBG's Instagram. I will post the link to that as well in the notes to this episode, and that's coming up May 1st. So I hope that that this is helpful. Please continue. I love hearing what's going on with you. I love any questions you have, any of the energies of the cards or the astrological energies that are resonating. I love hearing those stories. So please stay in touch. I love you all so much. Stay safe, stay as sane as possible, and always stay magical AF.